Okay.
Based on the last two shiurim that we spoke about Asar B'Teves, so this week I was asked by two different chasanim and kalos whether they're obligated to fast on Asar B'Teves, or for that matter, on other fast days that fall during the week of Shever Brachas. And the svara that one might suggest they should not fast is quite straightforward. The Gemara says in Ksubis, in the first perek, that the Shever Brachas week is considered to be a Yom Tov for the Chassan and the Kala. As a result, they have many, many sudos. Often people have Shever Brachas at every meal. I know someone who had Shever Brachas breakfast, lunch, and supper. Wow. What a Shever Brachas. 7 days. And as a result, there's also an Issa Malacha. You don't say Tachanun. It would seem to be inappropriate to have a fast day at such a time. We're talking about a Din Yom Tov al Pi Halacha. On the other hand, all of Klal Yisrael is observing a fast day, a very significant one, Asar B'Teves, where the siege of Yerushalayim began. So how could you not be Mishtatev in a fast day that all of Klal Yisrael is observing? So the Mar Mekomos that I sent you today, you have two Mar Mekomos, A and B, which are a Shirayim of the previous topic. That's why we entitle them A and B. And you'll notice the Ritva at the end of Maseches Tainis, Kimat, the last Ritva in Maseches Tainis discusses these issues. And he paskens the halacha that the chassan and the kala have to fast. And he presents actually two different rationales for this position. You'll take a look in item A, the lower left-hand corner, on page Kuf Tzadik Vav. He writes the Ritva, Chosen shechal echa midal ha-tzevis betoch yimei simchas libo. Mistaberli shu chayeli sanos. He says, al pisvara, it would seem that that's the appropriate thing to do. The avogabti yimei regal basimcha shalohu, even though we're talking about a din yomtiv, a din regal, that's how the Gemara writes in Ksubis in the first parak and elsewhere. Ve'ein abelus chadosha cholabayem kidisa beduchta. He refers to that sugya yimasech Ksubis in the Afdalin. Ve'ein simcha ela ba'chila, kidamina gabi regolin, the gabi purim. So now the Ritva explains, why is it that the chasen and kala should fast? And he says, mikom lekom came in the regal shalom, regal the yachim in the rabbanan. We're talking about a private regal, a private yamta. The chasen and kala, certainly, their chasana, and the fact that they're married, and the shever brachas, constitutes a yamta for them, but of a private nature. V'tanios elo heim the rabbin. Here we're talking about a Tanis Sibur. They are Taniyos that apply to all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it says the Ritva in the first Svara, Osi Avelus the Rabbin, Bedochi Regel the Rabbanan the Yochin. Very original insight of the Ritva. And as he contends that a public fast supersedes a private Yom Tov, a private Regel of the Chasen the Kala. Of course, he's citing a Gemara in Vayikotin. The Gemara says in Vayikotin, with reference to the question of Avelus and Yom Tov. So if the Avelus is Chal before Yom Tov, then comes Yom Tov and is Doche, the Avelus. The person sits Shiva for a short period of time, and then Yom Tov comes out and wipes out the Avelus. However, if the Avelus is Chal on Yom Tov, then it's going to be deferred till after the Chag, till after Yom Tov. The Gemara provides the explanation, why is it that a person whose Avelus is Chal on Yom Tov, it doesn't take effect till after Yom Tov, says the Gemara, Asi Avelus the Rabbin, B'dochi Aseh the Yochid. The Avelus the Rabbin, B'samachta V'chagecho, is Doche, the Aseh and the Yochid, Rashi calls the Pasuk, Yimiyohu, Ebel Yochid Asiloch. So here the Ritva extrapolates from that Gemara in Ma'ikodin and applies it over here, that the Avelus the Rabbin, the fact that there's a Tanis Sibur, Asar B'Teves, that should override, that should supersede the fact that the Chasam V'Kala have an individual obligation of Yom Tov during the course of the 7 days of the Shever Brachas, And therefore, that is overridden by the Avelos Derabim, by the Tainis of Asar Abateris, which you mentioned is among the litany of Tanios that connect to the Churban Amigdosh. That's one explanation. Then he provides a second explanation, also very original, tremendous chidushim that you see from Rishonim, literally on an ongoing basis. He writes, V'od mikra mole dibra al-kosov. He refers, of course, to the pasuk in Tillim that we're all familiar with, namely the pasuk that said, under the chuppah, when you have Efer, tachas roshe chasan, and the chasan recites the pasuk, imesh kochech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tishkach lishoni lechiki im lo eskerechi, im lo ales Yerushalayim arosim chasi. So the Gemara has, kayodua, there are two types of Zeichon HaMikdash. We've mentioned this a number of times, the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. The Gemara has in the last daf, in Cheskas Sabbatim, the third paragraph of Abbasah, the Gemara brings a number of in the items that are considered to be Zeichel Yerushalayim, leaving an Amo Al Amo, part of the wall that's not Savua, not painted in one's house, is Zeichel Churban Yerushalayim, and Efer Tachas Rosh Chasan, and a list of others that are essentially Zeichel Yerushalayim B'Churbana. And then we also have Zeichel Yerushalayim B'Tifarta, the Mishnah in Sukkah, Mem Aleph, when it speaks about a Bechad Mitzakai, with Mesakein, that even though Minat Torah, the obligation to take a lulav and esog, ulakachta lechem bayom arishon, priya tzodor, kapos tmor, and banafi, somas viabri nochal, the mitzvah is only one day, and only in the Bokam HaMikdash, or according to the Rambam, Yerushalayim, which is an extension of HaMikdash, usmachtam le'ashem alokechem shivas yomim, Rabbi Yochan Mitzakai, with Mesakein, that the lulav should be taken all 7 days, zechel HaMikdash. And that's based, the Gemara quotes a pasuk there. So that's one type of Zeichel HaMikdash B'Tifarta. And this is Zeichel HaMikdash B'Churbana. So now the Ritva cites this Gemara at the end of the third paragraph of Abbasah. The Gemara calls the Pasuk Melo Alois Yerushalayim Arosim Chasi. And therefore, says the Ritva in a very creative, ingenious Svara, the Pasuk says, why not to elevate Yerushalayim above my own joyous occasion? An old Sim Chasi, I'm obligated to be Mesamech, namely the Chasson with the Kala, the Kala with the Chasson. However, Yerushalayim is above that. Im lo ales Yerushalayim arosim chasi. The Pshuto Shel Mikra says the Ritva, that Yerushalayim is above my own personal simcha. And therefore we have to place the mourning for the Churban over our own personal joy. So if the Chasson and the Kala were to celebrate Sheva Brachas at the expense of observing the Avelos of Asar B'Teves, it would violate the message of the Pasuk. I was so despoiled when I first saw this Ritva many, many years ago, and I'm still chapping his spilus from this Ritva. Two very original, incredibly creative svaras of the Ritva. Of course, whenever one sees svaras, and we know that almost like a chakira, that Talmidei Chacham generally tend to declare, so right away, we have to know, what is the nafka mina? I think I mentioned to you once, I heard Rav Soloveitchik, he said this actually in Boston. This is, I think, apocryphal, but they said over in the name of Rav Chaim Briska, of his grandfather, a balabas came to Rav Chaim Briska and said to him, can I present to the Rosh Hashiva a balabatish svara? So Rav Chaim said, all my svaras are balabatish. Go right ahead. And so he said, I have a question. And the question is very significant chakira. When a person gets married, is it a one-time event? Is it chad pa'ami? Or is it an ongoing kind of event? Similar to what the Baal Tanya writes with reference to what we write in the davening, namely, ha-mechadish b'chol yom tov ma'aseh bereishis, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam on an ongoing basis is mechadish ma'aseh bereishis, so too, ha-mekadish b'chol yom tov. Kiddushin takes place on an ongoing basis. So Rav Chaim said, you know, whenever you clear chakira, it has to be a nafka mina. So the Baal Abbas said, okay. He said, Rebbe, what's a nafka mina? So he said, well, which one do you hold? He said, I hold it's an ongoing thing because every day a person should, in effect, like Chazal say regarding Talmud Torah, that kol yom yu benecha kechadoshim, marriage should be every day kechadoshim, as if it's being celebrated anew. So Rav Chaim said, if that's the case, then here's a nafka mina. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, every second. But I'm talking mazel tov. You have to say mazel tov to you. So now back in the Ritva, so here also, the Ritva presents a chakira, what might be the basis, what's the rationale for Asara ben Tevis overriding the Simchas Chasim v'Kalos? So first he suggests, because Avelos the Rabbim is Deicha Regal the Yochid. Secondly, the literal Pshuto Shal Mikra, Ales Yushalayim Arosim Chasi. So what's a Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina is, what about the Chasim v'Kalos who married the week before Purim? Are they obligated to fast on Tanis Esther? So according to the first time of the Ritva, they have to fast on Tanis Esther because Tanis Esther is the Tanis Sibur. It's no different than Asara B'Teves. According to the second reasoning, they wouldn't have to fast because we mentioned in the last two shiurim, Tanis Esther is markedly different than the other Tanios. All the other Tanios are Tanios of Churban, connected to the Churban HaMikdash. V'haraya, the Gemara Megillah Dafei, the Mishnah, that if it falls out on Shabbos, we are doche the Tanios to Sunday because Akdume Puranis Salam Kamina, we don't want to bring on Puranus. Mashenki Tanis Esther, there if it's fall on Shabbos, so then we go back. If you dalal falls out on Shabbos, we fast actually before Shabbos because it's a Tanis of Simcha. So this would be a Nafkamina between the two explanations of the Ritva, why Tanis of Asara B'Teves would override the Simchas Chasim V'Kala. And even though there are some poskim that are cholik on the Ritva, and they say that a Chasim can eat on these fast days. As a matter of fact, this is the position of the Vilna Gaon and the Archaim. He writes this la'alocha, or for that matter, let's say someone has a bris on those days. So then, of course, the Balei HaBris, namely the Moyel, the Aviyah Ben, the Sanduk, would be able to eat. But the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly the halacha. We follow the Ritva, and therefore the din is that the Tainus of Asara B'Teves overrides the Simchas Chasim V'Kala. Now there's a very famous psak of Agoin of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal that he paskin in general that if there are two fast days that are going to occur in the course of the week, namely the fast of a Chasim V'Kala and another fast day, he said the only mechuyah to fast one time during the week. That's a very original psak. Of course, it's very matim to the Goyin, Agoyin of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, with his unbelievable sensitivity to Kavod HaBrias and the like, but it's a chiddush gadol ma'ed, because this is an obligation, a tainus that is nikva al yidei midivri kabbalah from psukim etanach and tzchari that we mentioned, some rvi, some hamishi, some ashvi, some asiri, and the other tainus is a minog. Namely, the tainus of Chasan V'Kala. And many times, Chasan V'Kala has asked me, they don't feel well, or they can't fast, especially during the summer, such a long day. Can they fast till Shkia? Can they fast till Chatzais? It's only a minog. It's similar, perhaps, to the minog that the Mechabit quotes in Shulchan Aruch, which we practice, of fasting Erev Rosh Hashanah, but that's only half a day. But here, the minog is to fast the entire day, Chasan V'Kala. Because of Yesh Makom Lahakel, certainly, it's not of the same caliber, not of the same status, as the Taniyos, they were Nikva, Apia Kabbalah, Midivi Chazal. So that's the psak that we found Paskin. And however, there are Paskin, for example, Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal, Agoyin Rav Avadya in Yechabit Das. If you look at the second Chelek, Ayin Ches, so he passes the Halacha, the Chasim and the Kal do not have to fast on Tanis Esther. But other Paskin only actually cite the first rationale of the Ritva, implying that the Chasim and the Kal have to fast on Tanis Esther. That's the position of the Bi'a Halacha. But this is an absolutely fascinating Ritva that's not so well known. I thought it's a mitzvah, the farsim, it's a mitzvah to publicize this Ritva and the two rationales, the two reasonings quoted by the Ritva. And as I said, it's relevant to this issue of Asara B'Teves. And we are now already, since we're on the Shirayim of Asara B'Teves, perhaps we'll mention a few more Shirayim while we're at it, till we introduce the next topic, which is going to take a number of Shirayim, clearly. We plan on discussing, since I mentioned last night, one of the thousand reasons to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael is because we want to avoid and we want to escape all the jingles during this course of the year. And so basically it was suggested that I discuss those areas that relate to whether Nitl Nacht, which is this week, or related to, in general, Chukos Sa'akum. So that's what we're going to attempt to try to explore somewhat in the next series of Shiurim, some of the parameters of Chukos Sa'akum, and we'll try to come to some conclusions relating to that matter. But again, I was asked also this week about scheduling a chasana for the night of Asara B'Teves. And this also is a function of that which we discussed again the other day. Namely, we mentioned the Abu Dhram and the Bahag, that they're in the position that if it falls out on Shabbos, you know, even mechuyah to fast on Shabbos, because it says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the Paskin Yecheskel, Perek Abdalin. And now the question, what's the rationale for that? So the Rav Chaim Brisker said, because it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And the Rav Samech contended that perhaps this is a tainus which only is during the day, and perhaps that might be different. And that's exactly why some poskim actually say it's Asur, because the entire day is a day of Avelus. Other poskim are Mako, under extenuating circumstances. My Rebbe, Hagoyin Anisim Albazatzal, used to quote his Rebbe, the Gadol Hador, the Igris Meshe, Hagoyin Amesha Feinstein Zatzal. He said, he called Amesha Feinstein, not only was the Gadol B'Yisrael, and our Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that had he lived in the days of Akiva Eger, he would have been one of the Gadol Yisrael 200 years ago as well. That's why he always was Mavatia whenever he was asked to be Mesadik Kedusha in the Chasana. And Rav Moshe was also there, mitzad the kalo, mitzad the chosam, whatever the situation was. So Rav Soloveitchik would never be mesadi kedushin, even though he was asked by the chosam to be mesadi kedushin. There was one occasion, and this happened a fair number of times, from what I understand, but one occasion where the chosam was insistent that the rav, namely Rav Soloveitchik, be mesadi kedushin. So there was a kind of gleeful smile on the face of Rav Soloveitchik. And we knew he was up to something. We just didn't know exactly what it was. And so we see him under the chuppah. He's busy pouring the cups of wine, the kosos of yayin. It looks like he's arranging the table. And we don't understand. He never did that. Usually there was a gabbai or shamash or someone who was involved in that kind of activity. And he was doing it himself. And then at the moment of Birchas Erusin, he announced that the Gadol Hador is saying the Birchas Erusin. And the chassan essentially had apoplexy. That's the only way I could describe it. Because he had asked the Rav to be Masada Kedushin. So right away, the moment the Chasen was over, there was no time for Mazel Tov or anything else. He cannot jump on Rav Soloveitchik and said to him, I asked the Rav to be Masada Kedushin. And Rav Soloveitchik answered, I was Masada everything. I poured the cases. I took care of the vine. I took care of all the components of the chuppah. Everything was done. I was the Sadran par excellence. So in Hebrew, you would say, Hu Sideroto, which means, of course, he sort of did an end run around him. But anyway, I always was very nispoiled from that, but I was even more nispoiled from the harocha that Rav Soloveitchik had for Hagoyin Amesha Feinstein. So Rav Nisim Alpert and Rav Soloveitchik said that it's not that he's just the Gadol Hador. He's the Gadol Hador in Lomdis and Kol HaTorah Kula, unquestionably. He's also the Oyev Yisrael Shekol Hador. There's no one with a greater Ava for Kol Yisrael than Hagoyin Amesha Feinstein. And that's why in this situation that I'm just mentioning to you, he's Mako B'Shas HaTchak to schedule a wedding on the night of Asara B'Tevis. Only Rav Moshe has what's called in simple Yiddish, breit deplatzes, broad shoulders, and the ability to issue such a psak, which he did. And I should mention as well that since we're at it and we're doing Shirayim of Asara B'Tevis, I'll mention a few more Shirayim along the way, that there's a chiddush between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim regarding Anenu. Sfaradim recite Aneinu and all the tefillos of a Yom HaTainis, even the Meir of the night before. And Ashkenazim only say that Mincha, except for the Chazan, he says Aneinu in the Chazar Sashatz in Shachris. And this is also a very fascinating issue. And perhaps this issue is related to a famous Machlokes, the Balamor and the Ramban, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Nogea to Yom Kippurim. Because we know that on Rosh Hashanah, we add actually three brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. Chazal had a Kabbalah, there are 10 brachas. In the Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah. So if we add 3, 7 constitutes the basic framework of Shemoneh Esrei, plus 3, Malchus, Chedus, and Shevres, equals 10. But Chazal and Kabbalah, only 9. So we had to combine 2 of them. It's a subject of Machlokes Tanoim in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. But whatever the case is, our practice is to recite these 9 brachas when? Only in the Musa Shemoneh Esrei. However, the Baal Amor writes that this is not correct. If this is the Matbeah Shel Tefillah, if this becomes the coinage for that tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, it should be recited in all the tefillos. Why only Musaf? It should be in Ma'ariv, it should be in Shachris, it should be in Mincha. And that's at the Pesach of the Baal Amor. That Pesach was not accepted. Someone told me jokingly, it's obvious why it wasn't accepted. We'd be there for, I don't know, all day and all night. We wouldn't be able to get out of davening. We'd be in shul the entire day and night. So Yom Kippur is not a problem because I remember when I grew up, and this is mentioned by Poskim already, Balabatim stayed in the shul the entire night of Yom Kippur. I remember as a youngster, my father and Shalom stayed the entire night in the shul together with a host of many, many people. So many of them, my father used to say Tehillim, the entire Sefer Tehillim, he said several times on Yom Kippur in the course of being there. The Poskim said that if you're a chazan, you shouldn't stay up the entire night of Yom Kippur because you might not be able to function on Yom Kippur itself. And certainly the chazan, the Sheikh Tzibur, has to be in high functioning order on Yom Kippur. But this idea of the Baal Amor is something which seems to be very logical. If this becomes the Matbea Shel Tefillah, just the Matbea Shel Tefillah, we know during the weekdays 18 brachas plus the one that was added by Shmuel HaKod, 19 brachas, and the Matbea of Shabbos is 7 brachas, and the Matbea of Yom Tov is 7 brachas. We eliminated all the brachas of Bakosha, and we have the bracha of Kedush Sayom, which is the bracha on Yom Tov, Mekadosh Shabbos Hazmanim, on Shabbos Mekadosh HaShabbos. So 9 brachas now should become the Matbea Shel Bracha on Rosh Hashanah. And that's the position of the Baal Amor. So it seems that this is exactly the position of the Sfardim. They recite Aneinu in all the tefillos of Yom HaTainis, even the Maariv of the night before. Ashkenazim only say that Mincha, and this requires an analysis of Sugya Maseches Tainis, exactly which tefillah reflects the Tainis, or which tefillah reflects the idea of Tainis in the most significant way. And the answer, of course, is Dafka Tefillas HaMincha. And this needs a separate discussion, which I'm not going to have now. But whatever the case is, that generally speaking, there is a chilah between Ashkenazim and Sfardim with reference to this matter as well. So Ashkenazim, of course, only someone who is fasting is going to recite Aneinu. And the Sfardim claim that this is a machlokes haposkim. And also halacha lamaisa, since I was asked by a number of wonderful balabatim in BTYA, they say that's all you're interested is in lumdus. But maybe tell us once in a while what's mutter, what's aser, when you're chayav, when you're potter. Okay, if you forget to say Aneinu in Shmoneh Esrei, what is the person supposed to do? So usually, when I learned you're there with the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, so he taught Hilchos Melicha. He taught the famous sugya called Maaser Rashi, a long tesis in Chulin. And that he felt was the foundation for all the dinim of Melicha. If you understand the conceptual foundation, the apparatus, then the rest is easy. So then someone asked in the shir after a number of shurim on Maaser Rashi, but how do I go about doing Melicha? What is the practicum of Melicha? Halacha l'maaseh. So Rav Soloveitchik said, and I don't, if I imitate him, I do so only Mirov Chiba. So he said, you remember the diamond crystal salt. There's diamond crystal salt box. On the side of the salt box, diamond crystal, there's a list of regulations how to go about doing the melicha. You will look there and you will know what to do. So what's more important is to understand the conceptual foundation of melicha. So again, but since I was asked, if a person forgets Aneinu, in Shmoneh Esrei, what do you do? If you're in the middle of Shema Koleinu, you should recite Aneinu. And Ki Ata Shomea, complete the bracha. Once you complete the bracha, of course, you don't repeat any part of the tefillah. Instead, you say Aneinu at the end of Shmoneh Esrei as part of Elokai Nitzor before Yilu Ratzon Mefiat Tzon Mishnah Berurah, and the Kaf HaChaim actually paskin La Alocha. And I should mention as well that we know that Sar B'Teves, after the Chazar Sashatz, Avinu Malkeinu is said, followed by Tachanun. If a person finishes Shmoneh Esrei after the Tzibur, and they're ready to begin Tachanun, so then the question is, should I say Tachanun with the Tzibur, say Avinu Malkeinu later, or say Avinu Malkeinu first? This has been asked of me many, many times. So one should say Tachanun with the Tzibur, and then recite Avinu Malkeinu, because there's a very significant issue in saying Tachanun together with the Tzibur, and I said a series of Shurim on Tachanun a while ago, and this issue was discussed there as well, so you can actually refer back to those Shurim if you have that opportunity. The practices in Asar B'Teves and in general on Tanya Sibur to take out a Sefer Torah and read Vayechal, both in Shachris and Mincha. And again, the Ma'arik, the Shel Shetuvos Ma'arik, Pasul Da'alocha, that you're not going to give someone an Aliyah who's not fasting on a Yom HaTainis. And even if the reason why he's not fasting is medically warranted, so it doesn't make a difference. The Alocha is that someone who's not fasting is not going to get an aliyah. There's a very famous Rabbi Kiveger who discusses this issue regarding Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we also have a Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. We have Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. And there are a number of nafkivinis in these two Kriyas HaTorahs. Namely, what is the mechayev of Kriyas HaTorah in the morning? What's the mechayev of Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon? That's what we have to establish in order to know whether a person, obviously on Yom Kippur, one is obligated to fast Min HaTorah. It's one of the Chamishei Nuyin, unquestionably. But let's say, assuming one was not able to, can one get an aliyah? So there are chilukim between the morning and the afternoon, because in one case, the mechayev the Kriyas HaTorah is the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Kippur, which of course the pasuk says, Kriyas HaTorah Nevesh, Ashalo Se'une, Be'etzem Ayem Azev, V'nechus HaMe'amer, the mechayev is Inui of Yom Kippur, Masha'enke. In the second situation, the Mechayiv is tightness, and it could be that here there's a Makom LaHakel. Rabbi Kivega has this discussion also. It was fascinating because it's relevant. People often ask me, this is not my area. We have to speak to Rabbi Feinberg Shlita. He's a mumche in all these areas and many others as well. Namely, regarding the question of what trump do I use when I'm laying Yom Kippur in the morning as opposed to Yom Kippur in the afternoon? This might also depend upon this Shaila Rabbi Kivega, upon this Chakira. So generally the practice is that on the Torah B'Teves, we take out the Sefer Torah, read Vayechal, and Shachris and Mincha, someone who's not fasting is not going to be receiving the Aliyah, even though, as I said, the reason may be medically warranted as opposed to simply not fasting. And the question is, what happens if, again, as we know, the Mishnah writes in Gittin, and it's the Din of Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah points out that we give the Kohen actually the first Aliyah. The reason why we give him the first Aliyah is because we want to, it's a takana mishum shalom. And that's the reason why he's given the first Aliyah. But let's say none of the Kohanim in the Shul are fasting. So then you give the Aliyah to a non-Kohen who is fasting. The Kohanim actually will leave the Shul. That's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as well, in order to allow a non-Kohen to be called up in their stead. And again, the Marik, who's the mocker for all of these Piskei Halacha, he wants to show you that sometimes a Minog overrides Halacha. Or in the language of Chazal, Minog Mevatel Halacha. The Minog could even be stronger, can be vatzal the halacha. Why is that so? Because Chazal instituted that a kohen should get the first aliyah. Pasuk yichomesh v'kidashto v'chol dor shebikdusha. The question: what the parameters of that are? That also needs analysis, and one has to look into that very carefully under what circumstances. But certainly, v'kidashto and mishum shalom, there shouldn't be machlokes. A kohen gets the first aliyah. Yet, if all the kohenim in the shul are not fasting, so someone else is called with the first aliyah. According to Takana, the Kohen should receive the Aliyah. So again, here we see that this is a Psaka the Marik. And again, as I said, that sometimes a Minog can override actually the Halacha. But whatever the case is, we all want the Psukim in Zechariah to be Mekuyim, namely that all these Tzaymais, and very fascinating that Rav Soloveitchik once said a Shir, a Drasha Satshuva. And he described that there are a number of names given for fasting. For example, Yom Kippur, we know is, I don't know if anyone anymore says piyutim. I think we stopped saying piyutim a long time ago. It's the Tircha de Tzibura. And Baruch Hashem, Bekeshi, we can, we daven the Shmoneser. We have to be thankful that at least we do that. But if you remember the piyut, one of the beautiful piyutim, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, Nechoshe Ketzog Le'ison, Dechoyz Befilulei HaKalosim, and Adisha B'tzoyim HaOsar. That's the Lashon of the piyut, actually, in Shachris. And Yom Kippur has many names, and one of the names, the Rambam calls it Tzoyim. Rav Soloveitchik was very curious about this term, which is found in Tanakh as well. Tzom Harvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaAsi. What's the nature of this term? We generally call it Tainis Asar B'Tevias. We don't use the term Tzom. That's not a terminology that we are so familiar with, even though it's a term that's found in Tanakh. So Rav Soloveitchik had the following suggestion. He said this in a Tshuva Drasha, very fascinating Tshuva Drasha, which really the context was two Mishnayis. There are two Mishnayos that are found in Shas that seemingly are repetitive. One, the Mishnah that's found in the end of Maseches Yoma, and one, the Mishnah that's found in the end of Perek HaChevel and Baba Kama. The Mishnah HaChevel talks about, it's a response to someone, Chas V'Sholom, Shechevel V'Chavero. So the Mishnah writes that, Chevel V'Chavero, Chai V'Chamisha Dvorim. Nezek, Tzar, Ripu, Sheves, Boshes, Kayadua. However, the Mishnah at the end of HaChevel tells us that just because a person compensated the individual, the nechbal, does not mean that that's sufficient, but rather one has to go and ask a mechila, and the Mishnah calls a psukim with reference to Avraham Avinu and Avimelech, that he was told to daven, let Avraham Avinu daven for you, and he's a novi, ki novi hu, v'yispal abadcha v'chet. That's also the Mishnah at the end of Perek HaChevel. So we see there's a concept called mechila. But the end of the Mishnah in Yuma, where probably more familiar with that Mishnah, the Mishnah writes that Yom Kippur is only mechaper on Averos Shemiram Namokom. Averos Shemiram Namchaver, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, Achi Yiratze Es Chaver. You have to ask for Ritzo, you have to ask for appease, you have to appease the individual that you aggrieved, that you caused harm to, whatever the nature of the harm was. So the question is, why the need for two Mishnayis? And not only is there two Mishnayis, there are also two Rambams. The Rambam quotes both these Mishnayis. One he quotes in Chevel Amazik, the Mishnah Nachevel, and the other Mishnah, the end of Yuma, he quotes in Hilchos Tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik asked, why the need for two separate Mishnayos, two Rambams? And this was the subject of a several-hour Tshuva Drasha, where, of course, he pointed out the answer to everything, these are two different concepts that are being articulated over here. What is the concept of mechila? Mechila just means basically, and often people ask for mechila, means you ask someone to forgive you. The concept of mechila is one that we also see, not just in terms of asking for forgiveness, but even mechilas chayv. The idea if a person has an outstanding debt, then the malveh, if he so desires, can be meichel the chayv. The Gemara says, famous psak of Rabbi Natan, and Abin Tam is Mechadish, there are two types of Shibudim, there's a Shibud Aguf and a Shibud Chosin. So when I sell someone a Shtar Chov, I'm Mechadish Shtar Chov Lechavero. So why is it that the person, actually the original owner of the Shtar Chov, the original Malva, can be Mechadish Shtar Chov, why he sold it? The answer is he only sold the Shibud Chosin. The Shibud Aguf is still with him. The Shibud Aguf is not with the individual who purchased this Shtar Chov with the ability to collect. And therefore, since he still has the Shibud Aguf between him and the Lover, that he can be Meichel. We're not discussing that halacha, but we're mentioning that the term Mechila has a number of different applications. It applies actually with Mechila Schayb, it applies with Mechila in terms of Tshuva. However, you examine the Mishnah and Yuma, the Mishnah does not use that terminology. The terminology used in that Mishnah and Yuma is a terminology of Pius, a terminology of Ritzoy, a totally different kind of terminology that the Mishnah describes. And it's interesting that there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, there's an actual whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. She'yifayis adam eschavero erev Yom Kippurim. Everyone knows that each one of us are called up by people who may have, Rachman al-Litzan, offended us in some form of fashion. All of a sudden, erev Yom Kippur, the ganze Welt is asking for mechila. And interestingly enough, that I had the opportunity this past Shabbos actually to discuss in one of the drushas that I gave the question that the Rambani asks on the behavior of Yosef HaTzadik, who didn't inform his father that he was alive in Mitzrayim. He should have sent a letter, some sort of communication should have been had. And we mentioned the Goyin, Rabbi Kamenetsky Zatzal, Tidem Esayako, who felt that he had a basis of doing what he did because he wanted to teach his brothers a lesson, don't judge people so quickly. And I mentioned that perhaps it's a didn't keep it over aim, that he wanted to unite the family again, and that's the ultimate kibbutz of aim, when they sit together and live together in harmony, even though they may have different positions or different hashkafic positions or different, each one with their own Weltschang and the like. But also, it's possible to interact harmoniously and interact with each other in a proper kind of way. So that's the ideal kibbutz of aim, and he wanted to bring that out. As a result, he had the right to go ahead and withhold, not even telling Yaakov Avinu, which of course is Kibbutz of Aim. Perhaps this itself is the key of Kibbutz of Aim in terms of what he did. As a matter of fact, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if you feel the person is not sincere when they're asking for mechila, you're not obligated just automatically to give the person mechila. You can withhold the mechila. That's mentioned actually in Shulchan Aruch. Of course, one should use that weapon advisedly and very carefully, and it's better to be meikel as opposed to being machmir. In general, in this area, one should learn to be meichel, and one should learn to overlook and forgive and forget and be mevater. It's not kedai. Life is too short that one should hold on to these kinds of situations and chas v'sholom harbor grudges, which is another set of lavin lo sikom lo sitor. Anyway, our salvation suggested that the Mishnah in Yuma is talking about a totally different halacha. It's not just a question of a pro forma kind of asking for mechila, but it's a ritzui. What's the nature of this ritzui? What's the nature of this pious? Gemara tells a number of stories over there at the end of Yuma, but he cited Rav Soloveitchik, the words of the Paiton, which occur right after the Avodah of Yom Kippur. It speaks about Yom Kippurim, which have five inuyim, Asa Bachila, Bishtia, Birchitza, Benil Sassan, B'tzash Shemita, and then it says, Yom Simas Ava Vireus, Yom Azivas Kina V'tachus. Where'd that come from? What's the marker that Yom Kippur is a Yom Simas Ava Vireus, a day which love and brotherhood and friendship have to come to the fore, a day which we abandon and completely divest ourselves of kina, of any kind of envy or tachus, any kind of competitive type of spirit, which sometimes can be of a nasty nature. So our Soloveitchik said, it's clear the marker is that Mishnah and Yuma. The Mishnah and Yuma that speaks about Ritzoy and Pius. So he understood there to be two dinim, and there are a number of different nafkaminas. In terms of, for example, the second halacha requires one even to go to the kever, chas v'shalom, somebody's nifter, before you have a chance to ask the person for forgiveness. You have to bring 10 people to the kever, and you have to be mavakesh. And the Rambam's language is very, very verbose. The Rambam is very expatiates at great length on this second Mishnah and this second idea of Ritzui and Pius, which is found in Hilchos Tshuva, and the Mechila idea is found, of course, in Chayv L'Mazik. So we have two separate dinim. So in that context, then Rav Soloveitchik defined the term Tzom, which is the question that we asked. I didn't forget the question, and so I'm coming back to it, that what is the nature of this term that's used to describe Taniyos? So he suggested that the mocker of this term is the Pasuk Shir Hashirim. Mibar Litzam Mosech. The word Mitzamo, Mem Tzadik Mem Hei, refers to braids. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if a person puts together braids on Shabbos, Yechayim Mishim Beineh. The Issa of Beineh, as you know, is Nidbach Agabi Nidbach, Levein Agabi Levein. Here you're plaiting different strands of hair together. That itself is considered to be an act of Beineh. It's an act of Binyan. What the Gdarim are, again, require examination, but that's the term Mitzamo, Mibar Litzamosech. So the term Tzom somehow is an act of braiding. What are we braiding? And whom are we braiding? So he said, the Gemara says in Krisus, Kol Tainis Shein Ba Mipesha Yisrael Ein HaTainis. The famous Gemara, that's the reason why on Yom Kippur night, Olam Atirim Lispalel Im Ha'avar Yonim. What is the meaning of that? The answer is based on this Gemara, Kol Tainis Shein Ba Mipesha Yisrael. A Poshea, someone, the Gemara says, who's a Mardon. He's a Moreid. He's a rebel. We have Chet Avam Vafesha, Chet is Shogeg. And Mezid, of course, is the expression of Avon, and Pesha is Mered, refers to rebellious kind of activity. So, Kol Tainis Shein Ba Mipesha Yisrael Ein HaTainis. Since we want to have not just the kapara of each yochid on Yom Kippur, you want to have a kapara of a tzibur, we have to, in effect, bring everyone together, all of Klal Yisrael. And that's what we say, on a material, l'spalo imo avar yonim. B'yeshiva shel malo, b'yeshiva shel mato, v'chulu v'chulu. And this is based on the idea of Tzom. So the idea of Tzom is really, tainis is an opportunity for all of Klal Yisrael to come together and gather together. That's exactly what they do on a tainis. Tainis is a day of Mishpat, it's a day of Tefillah. That's how the Gemara has in Maseches Tainis as well. So undoubtedly, here we have four Tzomos. And of course, the hope and prayer is that Tzom Harvi, and namely the Shavas of Tammuz, counting from Nisan, as we mentioned yesterday, and Tzom HaChamishi, Tishu B'Av, and Tzom HaShvi, Tzom Gedalia, and Tzom HaAsir, Aser B'Teves, Sheyehofchu, L'Sasa V'Simcha, for Beis Yehuda, and Halavai, we should use all these days for reflection, for tshuva, so that Divrei HaNeviim should be Mekuyim Yetz Hashem, B'Yameinu, B'Kor B'Yameinu, Amen B'Yamein. I just want to mention that I, as you can see, I did not get to the topic I planned on discussing this evening, which was, as you can tell from the Mar Mekoymes, we're going to discuss Halicha B'chukos HaGoyim. We're going to try to define some of the parameters. We'll include just the definition. We spoke about this actually yesterday, Shir, the Tesis in Abu Nazar Daf Yud Aleph, but we'll try to look at the Psukim carefully, examine the Rambam. And then there is, on page number 12, 13, 14, and 15, there are a number of Gemaras and Teseftas that are nogea to this issue. And as well, there's a very famous tshuva of Agon Moshe Feinstein. It's the famous tshuva of the Tanigol Hodu, the Thanksgiving tshuva, regarding the eating of turkey. And this I found actually, at one time there was a publication called Amatera. This was the second edition of Amatera that came out, I believe it was in Tavshin Mem Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. A fair number of years ago, I happened to own it, and I went looking for it today and found it, Baruch Hashem. And so therefore, you can see a number of these Ma'amar Kamos, and hopefully next week, in Yitz Hashem, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we will try to explore some of the areas relating to Chukos HaKon.